Okay, this evening, if you have your Bibles, and I need to raise this. So if you have your Bibles, we're in the, actually, we've been going between the second chapter of Hebrews on over all the way up to the fourth chapter, and then we've been backing up. This book has a great deal of information in it that we need to know. And all of the Bible is that way, really. But sometimes you'll teach it, and then you'll read later and see that, hey, I didn't touch on that, you know. And so there's so much truth in the Word of God. And I like the way the Scripture says, how we learn, line upon line, you know.
Precept upon precept.
Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little, you know. And it's really the way we learn everything. But the more opportunity you give yourself to learn, and, you know, we don't have the legalistic requirements. You've got to be in church or we're going to fine you. We're, you know, all this. Not. A lot of churches do that. But the point is attendance in church ought to be high on the priority list of I want to. You know, because the more we know about the Lord, you know, and all of us know, yeah, He's God who became man through the virgin birth, who gave himself as a ransom for sin, and, you know, was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. And because he conquered death, in him we conquer death. So that we're going to go through something in this life, which we call death. It's just the body and the soul separate. Soul and the spirit are immediately translated into the presence of God. And, you know, we don't see it happening. You know, we see the individual in one moment, they're with us in this world, and the next moment, they're not. And, of course, the world doesn't have any hope in death, but it will kind of hitch a ride on what we believe. And you can't really tell with some people. They will give lip service to a lot of truth, but they really don't believe it. And that's sad, because a simple faith in Jesus Christ provides you with eternal life, supplies you with the security that no matter what happens, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, and to depart and be with Christ is what?
Far better.
Okay. So let's pick up reading again. I keep backing up into this third chapter because of the use by the writer to the Hebrews of the definite article with the singular noun sin. And so many people think that quote-unquote religion, and I would say that's true of religion. Religion is what man thinks he must do to satisfy God. You know, none of the religions of the world can satisfy God. God is satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ in his person and his work. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. So in progression of time, Old Testament prophecies being written, we read about the virgin birth of Christ, we read about his deity, we read so many things. We read about his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. There are so many things in the Old Testament scriptures. You know, basically, if you take the New Testament, the Old Testament has everything that's in the New Testament, virtually everything. But the only difference is in the New Testament, we know who they're talking about. We know that these things are fulfilled in our Savior. And we know that they're, you know, while God gave the Jews the opportunity to be under the law, no one was ever justified by law. You know, in order to be justified by law, what's the scripture say? Be ye therefore perfect. Failing that, if you can't be perfect, then you don't want to be under the law. Because all the law can do is condemn you. And there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Therefore, there is no one on this earth at the present time that can keep the law. The only one who did and the only one who could was God himself through the virgin birth. He became a man. He lived his life as a Jew. And he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness. So the scripture tells us, as in Adam, all die. People will say, well, that's not fair. Why should I be charged for Adam's sin? Well, if you don't want to be charged with Adam's sin, then we won't charge you with Christ's righteousness too, with a simple act of faith. Okay? In other words, one requires the other. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, became a man through the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew, fulfilled the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and offered himself out. How? As a ransom for sin. No amount of good works that people do, and we have the various religions of the world that say otherwise, but there's only one way into the presence of God, and Jesus said, I'm it. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if the world wasn't so deceived by the lie, and what is the lie? Well, there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, we look at that tree and we say, well, you know, good behavior is better than bad behavior and all this type of thing. But it's not just a tree of good. It's also a tree of evil. So the most rotten thoughts, the most rotten actions that have ever come out of the human family came from the same tree that man thinks he can get into heaven by observing certain rituals. Yeah. And it's not so. Scripture is very clear. Without the shedding of blood is what?
No remission.
What is a remission?
A payment.
Please remit. What's that mean? When you get a bill in the mail and it says, please remit. Please send money. You know. You owe us so much for gas, you owe us so much for electricity, garbage collection, whatever it might be, now please remit. You know, so in order to stay even with your creditors, you do what? You remit. Now in our case, we can't remit. You know, when it comes to you, when it comes to me, there's not one thing that you or I or anyone else in this world can do to satisfy God. The only way to satisfy God is to believe him. Because the scripture says, without faith, what? It is impossible to please him. See? So when we pick up a reading here, speaking about the Jews in the Old Testament, let's start at verse 7 again in the third chapter. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit would be a better translation than goes, there aren't any such thing as goes. Roman Catholic Church got goes coming out of the gum stump. Anyway, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today. Today what? Well, today, if you will hear his voice, do what? Harden not your heart. Now, what would be a hardened heart against the voice of God with respect to salvation? I can do it myself.
Yeah.
I don't need a Savior. You know, lots of people, deny the existence of God altogether, or deny that there's only one way into the presence of God. Yeah. And that's to their detriment. God told us to take the gospel, which is the good news about Jesus Christ, who is God, who fulfilled the law, who fulfilled all righteousness, who gave himself as a ransom for sin. And we're told to go into all the world and preach that he did that. And people say, no, no, that's too narrow. No. Well, if one man, Adam, can plunge a whole human family into sin, then it has to be that one man, Jesus Christ, can provide the remedy for sin. So that's what the scripture says. As in Adam, what? All die. Yeah. When you, and I've preached over the years several funerals of infants, and die in childbirth or shortly thereafter, and there's a portion of scripture. And I wouldn't teach this as absolute, because there's only one verse of scripture. But over in the book of Corinthians, it speaks of the fact that, in taking communion and so on and so forth, that we as believers, it says, else would your children be unclean. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's not enough scripture to make me know for certain what it means. But it appears if there's not at least one person in a family, husband, wife, one or the other, if one of them are saved, then the children, like the Jews in Egypt, remember when they got ready to leave Egypt, everyone that was under 20 years of age, they went into the wilderness and lived in the wilderness along with all those that were 20 and older. And after 40 years in the wilderness, 40 and older now, we're 60 and older. And many of those people died off in the wilderness. Well, why did they die? Because they were sinners. And it's not personal sin that takes our life. It's one sin. It's Adam's sin. Because scripture says, as in what? Adam, all die. So we have to recognize, people would look at that and say, well, that's not exactly fair. How can I be charged for Adam's sin? Well, it works this way. If you can't be charged with Adam's sin, you can't be charged with Christ's righteousness. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's only in Jesus Christ that there's salvation. He said, I am the way. And so, as an Adam, what is the natural extension of what Adam did? Death for the entire human family. So what's the natural extension of what Christ did? Eternal life for all who will believe. So God made provision. So let's pick up here now at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What was the day of temptation? When God said to them, here's the law, you keep it, I'll bless you. Yeah. And they said what? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, I'm sure that when you read different portions of the law, you might have the idea, oh, I can do that. Yeah. But it's not a hit and miss type of thing. It's 100% of the time perfectly. Yeah. So what's that mean? Well, in order to enter into the presence of God, you have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because as an Adam, all die. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ came to us in the fullness of a time. This is the reason for the, well, first of all, after Eve sinned, Adam sinned. Okay? Adam was not deceived. That's very important. If he were deceived, we've got a different can of worm, but he was not deceived. And so, what is it? As in Adam all die, so in Christ all who are in Christ shall be made alive. So if we can die in Adam, we can be made alive in Christ. And that's the truth of the gospel. So therefore, in our relationship one with another as believers in Jesus Christ, and in our relationship with others that we work with, you know, every now and then we find one of our co-workers is also a professing Christian, and we can have fellowship together and so forth. But if there isn't salvation, there can be no fellowship. Or you can talk about the duck game and this and that and so on and so forth. But at a spiritual level, there's no such thing as fellowship apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So he goes on to say, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, but they were never able to do it. You know? So what was the consequence of not being able to keep the law? Death. Yeah. So they thought they could save themselves. Many people in this world think the same way. They may not put it in those terms, but they think, well, I'm a good person. You know, I've never robbed a bank. I've done, you know, I've never spent time in jail or this or that. But the fact is, those things are pretty minor compared to trying to make ourselves God by the lie of the devil. You know? And that's really what happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve was deceived into believing that if she disobeyed God, it would make her like God. Now you wonder, hey woman, where's your head? You know, but she was deceived, and for that reason, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Why? Because the woman was in the transgression. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. That makes all the difference in the world. So when Adam sinned, he was putting himself upon the grace of God. When Eve sinned, she thought she was going to be something more than she already was, you know. And if you notice, the false religious systems of the world always promise something more, you know. But no, we have eternal life, and we have it in Jesus Christ. And it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. Mercy? Yes, mercy, because why does it have to be mercy? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So God showed his mercy in sacrificing his son. And that mercy says to anyone who will receive it, I give unto you eternal life and you shall never perish. And then we have all kinds of reactions against it. We will, like the Jews said, we will not have this man to reign over us. You know, we don't need a savior. And most of the world, they don't necessarily vocalize it, but that's the way that most of the world thinks. I'm a good person. I have life. And if there is such a thing as eternal life, I must have it too, because I'm a good person. And that little bit of deception will send a person right to hell. You know? And the simplicity of the gospel is incredible. You know, God just said, believe that my son was virgin born, lived his life as a Jew, fulfilled the law, and died for you. And then not only did he die for you, he was buried and he raised himself from the dead because he lives. You know, he gained victory over death, not by some outside agency, but by himself. So if he can conquer death, then that's exactly what we need, because it's appointed on the man what?
Wants to die.
Wants to die. You know. So when we get the right perspective and we realize there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, sinneth not. And you have to think about the Jews. You know, and as we get into this a little further, we're going to see the mind of the Jew. The Jews said, when they heard the law, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Well, I can remember in school, the teacher used to say, put your thinking caps on. Obviously, when they made that statement, they didn't have their spiritual thinking caps on, because there's no such thing as a just man. You know, in Adam, all what? All die. So in Christ, what? All are made alive. So if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you have eternal life. If you think you can do it yourself, or that something about your life is special and God is blessing me because I'm such a special person, you're self-deceived. The only way that we can believe God is that, or please God, is to believe him. And personal righteousness has nothing to do with believing him. You know, think about that for a minute. That one, let it soak in just a little bit. Yeah. The things that we attempt to do to make ourselves godly people, friendly people, blah, blah, blah. None of those work. It takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And when God takes the Word of God and quickens it or makes it alive to us, we realize by the Word of God that we're sinners. And by the Word of God that Christ died. And by the Word of God that Christ arose from the dead. And by the Word of God that he ascended to heaven and led captivity captive. He took all the Old Testament saints with him. You know. And by the Word of God, he's coming again. You know. So at death, people see other people die. And man just kind of, well, it has to happen. They're just sleeping, you know. Well, no, you're conscious. You're not asleep when you die. Yeah, the body's asleep, but you're alive. What do I mean by you? Your soul is alive, and it's alive somewhere, you know. And there are only two places. Because the scriptures tell us that we will not have this man to reign over us. There's no place for the unsaved of the world to go. You know, they're under the condemnation of God. And God can't just ignore it. Otherwise, he would no longer be perfect. You know, he would no longer be God. So exhort one another daily, in verse 13, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And translators didn't translate the definite article. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of the sin. What was the sin? The serpent said to the woman, Elohim, or God, doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be like Elohim, or you're going to be like God. Did that happen? No. You know, we have to think these things through a little bit. And the fact of the matter is that, all of the law can do for us is condemn us. And there's not any life in that which condemns. See? So then when we realize that Jesus fulfilled the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and died a ransom for sin, so, and the scripture says, without the shedding of blood is no remission or no payment, then we realize that Christ gave his life as a ransom for sin to pay for your sin and my sin. You know? And because it's paid for, it's forgiven. And because it's paid for, it's forgotten. And because it's paid for, it will never be remembered against you when? No more. Yeah. Wow, what a promise. Yeah. And it's the only, let's put it this way, it's the only religious system in the world that can deliver. All the rest came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when we look at that tree, and I've been writing articles on it, everybody, and I did for a long time, everybody thinks that that tree came from God. Nay, nay. Now, it didn't come from God, it came from the devil. It's a counterfeit of the tree of life, which was in the garden. And God did create the tree of life in the garden. And Lucifer created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was also in the garden next to the tree of life. You know? And so that's where it all began. And so when Eve was deceived, then Adam willfully sinned, cast himself upon the grace of God. You know, grace, marvelous grace. Yeah. And a lot of people don't know what grace is, but grace is unmerited favor. What is it? It's the exact opposite of what we get. We deserve hell. We deserve eternal separation from God, but we have eternal life in the presence of God. Why do we have it? Only God knows. Yeah. Because the scripture says it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done. So there isn't anything that I have ever done, past, present, or future, that can merit for me eternal life. I have it, but I have it by the grace of God. You have it, but you have it also by the grace of God. You know, why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So he goes on, for we are made partakers of Christ. Now think about that. What does it mean to be a partaker of Christ? It means that you stand in the equivalent of Jesus Christ before God. His righteousness is your righteousness. His life is your life. Now, your sins are been paid for with his blood and will never be remembered against you. That's not a carte blanche to do whatever you want to do. It's the greatest motivation ever to subdue yourself just a little bit. Will we? Or, you know, not until we get rid of the sin nature. You know, so as long as we have a sin nature, we're going to manifest the fact that we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's no such thing as, quote unquote, a perfect Christian. You know, all have what? All have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. So when we get things in perspective, we begin to see that a lot of the boasting and a lot of the actions that we see under the canopy of Christianity should never be there. There's an awful lot of people who are what we call self-righteous. You know, well, if the only righteousness that you have is your righteousness, I guarantee you, you're going to hell. You know, because it takes the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ and his shed blood to pay for our sins. And he did. And all it takes from us is by the quickening power of the Spirit of God to believe that he did it for me. You know, it does you no good if I believe he did it for you. You have to personally believe. You know, and that's why we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because there's one Savior. And the gospel is the good news, how that Savior, who is God, fulfilled the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and gave himself as what?
A ransom.
What's a ransom? When somebody's been kidnapped, you have to pay a ransom to get them back. Okay, so to speak, the serpent kidnapped us into thinking we could be like God, you know, a little brainwashing and kidnapping, you know. And people, all of the religions of the world are based upon that. Biblical Christianity is based upon Jesus is God. He came a man, became a man through the virgin birth. He lived his life as a man, as a Jew, perfectly. He's the only Jew that ever kept the law. You know, Moses didn't. Moses went to the mountain, got it, but Moses never kept the law. Aaron never kept the law. None of the prophets ever kept the law. So how are they going to get into heaven? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses them as well as us from all sin. Okay. So as we continue with this, it says, for we are made partakers of Christ, verse 14, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, in the early first century, there were people who had been Jews who professed faith in Christ, but they really didn't have their faith in Christ. You know? And so that's what all of this steadfast unto the end is concerned. Once you believe on the Lord, it's at a moment in time, and it's forever. Because the moment you believe on him, you die. You know, in other words, God counts each one in this room to be already dead. Why? Because when Adam and Eve ate of that tree, we ate of it. So because we ate of it, what did it produce? Death. Now, we have that kind of death in a body which is alive. That's why if we should say we have no sin, what do? We're self-deceived. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What's my confidence in the Lord? Well, my confidence better be in the Lord and not in me. Your confidence better be in the Lord and not in you. What is the confidence? Well, he's God who became a man through the virgin birth so that he could be related to me. He lived his life as a Jew and fulfilled the law. And then he gave himself as a ransom for sin, shedding his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And after he died, he was placed in the tomb for 72 hours and rose the first day of the week, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And the promise to us is that if we believe that, we shall perish when?
Never.
Never. Okay. And can you remember all the arguments you've had with people of other persuasions who think they have to keep themselves saved and think they have to be sinless, and they're not? And ultimately what happens to them is just like the president of the school that Brother Stu attended when he was training for the ministry. He was pastoring a church, so he had to find a school that was close enough to where the church was so that he could pastor the church and go to school too. And the only school that he could go to was a holiness school. And he tells the story, I've forgotten the man's name, and it's not important. But he was a Pentecostal. And the closer it got to his death, he didn't know whether he was saved or lost. You know what that tells me? He was lost. Lived his life working, quote unquote, in the Lord's work. But he didn't have his faith straight, because the Pentecostals put the emphasis upon your life. Yeah. Well, what the emphasis that is put upon my life in the scriptures, and I've quoted this very often, you're dead. So if you're dead, have you been down to the funeral parlor lately and checked out the corpses down there at night, see if they're dancing and drinking and carrying on? You know, that would be about as foolish, you know, because we died with Christ. And if we didn't, then we're dead in trespasses and sin. But because we died with him, we were also raised with him. And because we were raised with him, we have eternal life, and we shall never perish. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What is it? When I first believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I was told that Christ died for my sins. And do you believe that? Yes. You know, has it ever had to be reinforced? No. You know, have I been sinless all this time? No. No one is. So these people that put the emphasis upon their life have got it in the wrong place. Our eternal life is based upon his eternal life. We don't have, apart from Christ, we don't have eternal life. Well, you can't kill the soul, but by life we mean to have some enjoyment. And there's no enjoyment in hell. You know, I remember the rich man and Lazarus, and I'd never thought of it, but when the rich man could see Lazarus in the grave. And Debbie asked me about it. You know, she said, apparently he could see the rich man, or the rich man could see Lazarus, but he couldn't see, in other words, he could see those in heaven. And of course, he was in hell, so he could see those with him in hell. But he didn't have eternal life, and so it wouldn't be very pleasant for us as believers in Jesus Christ to be witnessing our loved ones being tormented forever simply because they didn't believe. You know? So that puts an urgency to it. You know, I can't save anyone. I can preach the gospel, and I've had people saved under my ministry, but I haven't the power to save a single soul. And that's very important. So what are we told to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we preach the gospel, and what comes by hearing? Faith comes by hearing. So if we want our loved ones to be saved, and I know sometimes it can be very difficult, but if you want your saved, unsaved loved ones to be in heaven with you, ask them to church. Yeah, that's where the gospel's preached. Only somebody that is an individual believer can talk to them, and they might be saved under that situation. But God's method is for the church to take the gospel into all the world and preach it. And so, what are we preaching? Are we preaching a lie or the truth? Are we giving you false hope or truth? And we're giving you truth. There's no false hope connected with it. So he goes on to say, well, it's said today. Why don't we say tomorrow?
Probably never comes.
We quite frankly, and especially at my age, we can't quite frankly don't know if tomorrow is going to come. But by the same token, I can outlive everyone in this room. If it were the will of the Lord to do it, I doubt that I will, but I could. It just depends when the Lord decides to take me home and when he decides to take you home. Well, it said today, if you will hear his voice, do what?
Harden
not your heart. Now think about it. And I've had people get really upset with me when I've talked to them about their soul and offering them eternal life. Rather than saying, thank you for telling me, I didn't know that. I believed on the Lord, and he's my Savior, But if they're not, then what? They get upset with you for meddling in their spiritual affairs. How dare you talk to me about something like that? As if there were any possibility that I would be lost. Well, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're lost. And my will, your will, and really the will of the Father as well. He died for the sins of the whole world. But God is a God that isn't going to force one person to spend 1 second in heaven who says, I will not have this man to reign over me. And there's lots of people in this world that say that. I don't need a savior, I'm a good person. That's the devil's lie. So the devil has gotten man to hinge everything that he hopes for on a tree. He said, look at that tree. It's got the knowledge of good in it. He didn't emphasize the evil. And when Eve said, well, Elohim said, if we eat of that tree, we will surely die. And just like the world does, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? Well, the fact of the matter is a loving God before the foundation of the world knew exactly what he was going to do. And at a point in time, he became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And he became a Jew. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness. And he gave himself as a ransom for sin. That's what a loving God did. All of this trying to make God culpable for people going to hell is nonsense. The Lord Jesus Christ took that judgment upon himself and conquered it, and because he lives, what? We shall live also. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And when we think about eternal life, it's hard to think about what might happen tomorrow, let alone several eons from tomorrow. But we know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We know that we shall never perish. We know that we shall dwell together with you in heaven in a perfect environment where there's no more sin, no more sickness, no more sorrow, and no more death. And we know that Lucifer will be separated, cast into hell, and never be able to tempt man again you can be like God if you disobey. Bless in each of our hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.